This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So we're holding here in Midas. Did we finish the Perek Aleph or not? I don't recall. Do we see Valderino as there, or I can't remember?
We didn't finish the pair.
Okay. So, he's going to launch over here into an issue which he speaks about in a lot of places, and it is about the Derech HaLimud of his Dor. He speaks about it in the Sivat Torah, speaks about it in the end of Pirk Yavis, in the sixth Perek. Briefly, as he describes the Seder of the learning in his Dor, was as follows. And he writes extremely, extremely sharply about it. Whenever it's interesting because the Maral in the Sefer, you see a very deep sort of contemplative style and so on. And when he speaks about current issues, he's really, really out with a vengeance. So whatever he talks about, he's very, very, very sharp. And one of the issues he's really sharp about is Derech HaLimud. And his basic, if I can sort of sketch out the issues and the circumstances, you're supposed to learn in a way that you will accumulate a lot of knowledge. You will have learned through Torah, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, thoroughly know it a lot, and say svaras that are very yasher and to the point, and that's that. And this requires a lot of hard work, no nonsense work, and a lot of effort. What has instead happened was there was a development of a pilpul Derech HaLimud, where people were right. And they learned how to hack kashas and sort of talk off the top of their heads and create long tefillin that were wrong. Their premises were sheker and their hemshach was sheker and so on. They didn't need or want to really learn a lot of material because it takes a lot of effort and it's difficult and it's underappreciated. They actually bright enough by learning a little bit and hacking a big cup, you can actually go very far. That in a sum total was what he describes for learning his door. He says that it's something that ought to be people ought to take kriya on what's happened to learning. We're talking the 1500s, by the way. And people who know nothing, claim to be big rabbonim. They paskin out of a shofar because they're among the studies of Gemara. They, because they didn't work in learning and they didn't spend the proper amount of time and haravani and so on, they're also highly arrogant and bad balmidas. And that's the stated union of his Torah. Basically, that's what he puts it. And he's really, really, upset. Now, I want to make a point. That's a very difficult. It's something that for the people listening who spend time in yeshiva versus it will have some sense versus people who haven't spent time in yeshiva. It's not easy to understand. Iyun in learning is very appropriate. Iyun means that the person needs to understand. What are the different ways one can understand the Gemara? What are the problems that need to be solved so that the Gemara comes so that we figure out what the Gemara means at the end? Bederach klal, there will be a few shitas in the main Rishonim, one or two or three shitas. What are the different approaches? And a lot of times you have to deal with a kasha that's at the heart of the matter and say a svara that's yasher and makes sense and goes to the depth of it. Basically, in a certain sense, that's what today we feel more or less is a brisk derech. you look at the sugya at the heart of the point, try to exactly describe it properly, define it properly, and show sometimes we're dealing with two or three different elements that are sort of jumbled together, but maybe the sugya isn't being involved in it. For instance, when you give a gift, certain halachas come from the fact that you're dealing with a shtar, like any other shtar. Certain halachas come from the fact that it's a gift, which is unique. Those are simple logical classifications that, without properly identifying them, you have a mishmash. A lamdan is someone who intelligently understands and analyzes what he's learning, and so on. What happens is since that is seen as a cherry on top, and so today the mashal in yeshiva, the bad pilpul that many farm referred to in the old days was as follows. A kasha would be asked on a sugya. A person would conjecture a teretz, which really had no basis for logically why one would say it. You know, it's not wrong. In a sense, there's no clarification, but if Sechal Yashu wouldn't have said it, but he says it, he comes up with a chav and says it, then he goes off on a long tangent and tries to disprove the point or prove the point. A lot of times with rayas and things that are not less muchach, not more muchach than we've said to start with. So you can, if you're bright enough and quick enough, you can go on an endless chain of kasha. Well, this would be well if you learn this, like this, like this, like that. But if you learn it, this, like this, like that, I don't know. And it's not as if you have a logical reason why it is. Imagine, just for the sake of a muscle, let's say somebody's doing a study on the effect of nutrition on cancer. So an intelligence study starts with certain things that one would suspect or expect, tries to focus on those, tries to build some sort of logical thesis, and then starts looking for the data and seeing if it works out. But if a person just takes columns and lists everything from avocado down to zebras, and then you can keep going with that, well, maybe zebra people have these lines also, and none of it is in dry logic, none of it is wrong, but Seichel says it's not right, and so you can keep going more also. Well, this Gemara might be going like this. This Sugi might be going like that. Why? Oh, I mean, some vague sense of it. And then go on and then try to prove it. This proof, you can write a marvelously long sefer on things that are built out of empty air. And this was, people were brilliant. People had a lot of time. And it was an easy way to become a noted Talmud Chacham. The flip side of that net was people were Amaratzim, and also the things they said were wrong. So this is something, so the appropriate way to learn is that the purpose of learning should be to know, to accumulate knowledge, to build, and a Bardas knows that to know something also means to appropriately explain it, categorize it, define it. Those are things that are necessary points in understanding it. So I guess today the Derech HaLimud has become crooked a different way. What happens is there are many possible approaches in a sugya, and you can spend all the time in shir going through. So the Frel looked at this, or Ruben looked at this, or Shimon looked at this. One could say this is the answer, Kata Ruben. It's a process that, in a certain sense, becomes meaningless at some point, and it doesn't help you get a better sense of the subject. I'll just toss out probably my Rebbe Reb Nachum, who obviously is my Rebbe. I consider him, but I think by everyone consider him a paradigm of what it means to learn properly. A Rosh Hashiva came to him. He started yeshiva, and every week he would tell over his shiur called Reb Nachum and sort of get approval. So from the Priyasman, the first man, he said something on Haluka and so on, and that was fine. The second week, he was saying another base on the Nemanis of Amocha. And before he started, Reb Nachum cut him short, and he said, just like it's the duty of a yeshiva to teach a Talmud what one ought to learn, it is the duty of a yeshiva to teach a Talmud what one ought not to learn. And therefore, he said, in both Metzia Beis and Beis, one does not learn the Inyan of Nemanis of Amocha. The Gemara brings it as a side point. You don't have enough information on the subject. So the only reason why you do it is because it's kind of a badge of honor that you're going slowly because you're doing such a tremendous feeling. But what it does is London is supposed to teach students how to focus and how to find the relevant points. And what you're doing is the opposite. And I guess for us, that's the same thing. So you have people who have many years in Shiva. Their cumulative knowledge is quite minimal. And it becomes very discouraging. So they go off and they don't bother to learn much more because what's the point of it? I don't know much more. I find personally, being in yeshiva, there are two junctions where people are Torah ala Rishonos. One is those who go into Yoridea and they learn intensely for a year and a half. And for the first time in their lives, things have real answers, real conclusions, and they can answer 100 questions on a test. They say to themselves, I think I misspent all the years in yeshiva. Worse than that is, they go to law school or they go to college, and they actually can write a paper, they have to say something, they have to prove a point, and they take a final at the end of the semester, and they actually have a body of knowledge that they know, at least till the end of the final, but they actually have a sense of it. And it is unfortunate. My father and brother used to push learning quickly in yeshivas. They learn more quickly. And it wasn't, my father was a very good London, but he said somebody who's in Kolo, and this is his 8th year, 9th year, 10th year learning, and should be able to go at a pace and still know as well. And the way he described the consequence of not doing it was, he said, imagine your man needs to be absent for a few days because his kid is sick or something. He comes back to yeshiva, he doesn't see that he really missed anything. So then he says to himself, if I'm not missing all that much, why don't I take a 3-day vacation? I don't think they'll be holding much further, and so on. All the shurim that was said in European yeshivas, until World War II, they got up to that pay, that tzaddik. It had to do with the fact that, A, there were very few sparm around, so you stuck to the Maharashi Taisis, the Rosh, the Ritten Aran and the Rambam. To get a Rosh from the Mir Yeshiva, you need to sign up days in advance for your slot, 15-minute slot in the Yotah Sfarim. So people focus on learning over the Masechta again and again. It was normal for people to be tested on the Masechta. But Zal Yaskin told me that Rabbi Zilu tested him on all of Baba Kama. And he asked him on a Taisis, a Pirate Ticket Taisis, the Pipara. And he excused himself that it's not really Baba Kama that can run. And Rabbi Zilu said that's true, but Taisis did see it, but it's in Baba Kama. So, I think you would have known. But that was really so people knew material, and then on top of that, you also have to be able to understand it. It is true that if you just say the facts in the Zikin, you don't quite have it. Unless you're able to actually sharply define it, crisply define it. It's not like a Chaim where you say, do I use the top matzah or the bottom matzah? When you see somebody has a chazaka, you need to define what is a chazaka, at what level is it a presumption, what level is it not. These are things that are logical pieces, but they need to stand in the framework of actually knowing something. And he writes it off to Atmos, and we'll go through his Russian. So it's very uncharacteristic. These types of Lashonas of his are not the norm, but when he does speak about topics, he really is quite ferocious. Well, the Reina of the Nehemar, and our generation would set the pasuk, Mech.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes?
Maybe this is what he's going to explain.
If
they were Balei Seichel, if they were brilliant people, wouldn't they have their own dipshits?
The problem is that the person's needles are usually intertwined with what they think is right or wrong. And so if you keep getting it in yeshiva, keep getting reinforcement life, his mind works so quickly, nobody can keep up with him, so it tends to reinforce itself. At some point, it's so high in the tree that it's hard to wind down. You're talking, they're not dealing with objective reality, they're talking about themselves. So, I don't want to bring in current concept, but I've been doing, I do the Bechinus for the Meir Yeshiva in America the last year and a half or so. And, many times, boys will say things that they don't know what they're talking about. They learn so little. I mean, a few boys took a Bechinus from a very, very good Yeshiva in Lakewood, Yeshiva Gola, within the 2 years, 3 years. They learned from the beginning of the winter in Gittin, 2 blots and 3 lines, and then they skip to a different sugya, which has no business being learned in Gittin because it's not a sugya in Gittin, and they'll be spending the rest of the month on that. They do it after morning, they're after afternoon, and they're different, with a different parent. Same face. And at night they have the shir. There's 2 problems. First of all, there's never going to be cumulative knowledge. 2, the eon picture is going to be very distorted. I mean, let's take a marshal in Lahavo Hagov in law. You take a contract. So before you go looking for little words that might mean this or that, you say yourself, okay, what's the general sense of the contract? What's the thrust of it? What are the major points of it? Let's take a closer look at something. But there's an intelligent proportion between the big picture, the smaller picture, and the micro picture. And they don't have that. It's almost like a game. And now, younger kids are like that. Kids like to do something that's exciting, like to be successful at something. I understand. I also had this issue when I was young, and I also enjoyed the extraordinary svara, the super deep svara. That's just part of the fire of the youthfulness. But the authorities with the voice of maturity saying, like somebody once told my brother was not saying a shiur, one of my grandmas, and that's the question he told him. That's a rich man's kasha. If you've got everything else taken care of, you have the luxury of doubt and the distance. But we don't have that. It's not the, let's get to the heart. Today they have an index for all the kashas on the Masechet and Baba Basra, Baba Kaba, the Shamsi Tanglehead. For a boy to go through that as is a churban. A person when he's learning, a derech halimud means I train myself to ask the right questions. I train myself to distinguish between a question that must be answered or else I don't have it, to a question that's really bothersome but I can still live without it, to a question that's trivia and cute and we'll leave it for some other time when we're relaxing on Aiden with an infinity of time to go. That's part of the maturing process of learning. So the problem was, like I said, they would have, there's a letter from a teenager I once saw that obviously, I gather from the response where he's coming from. A friend of a teenager had asked him to please give his son a bechina. And, he wanted to get feedback from a teenager, how he's doing. The day you write to the letter, your son duly arrived and said, hey, he gave me a letter and, that I should give him a bechina. I told him, fine. He said, okay, let me tell you the shtickle fairy that I have for you. But if you writes, that's not my direct giving bechina, I like to learn through something. And he probably doesn't have enough time because he's got friends and he's got to face it and so forth. So I wish them all the well. That was it. But the point was, Sir Kurega said, let's see how he learns a sugya. Let's see a sugya. Where's he starting from? Where's he finishing? What's the point? That's really the point of all of it. So there are necessary tools to answer certain questions, to raise certain questions, to make the Yukim. But those are little tools. It's like A dentist's office, having all the tools of a dentist does not make you a dentist unless you know what to use for what. When do you drill and when do you plug and when do you do neither? And that's quite important part of being a dentist. So yes, they were smart, and obviously Dole and Dole were different, but for a lot of young people, this was, you know, like I would say, a full 6 pages, 18 pages, 55 pages, a whole stapler, and he would, you know, and a lot of it is, yes, it could be highly unlikely, but then the person, and then to give a springboard, so let's see if we can prove for it, prove against it, back on the proof, the other way, prove in a certain sense, if you're bright enough, you can keep the other person pursuing you. I told somebody once, there was somebody in the mirror, very, very smart. Not such a serious learner, but he's brilliant. Now, someone asked me about Tolkien learning, asked him a question, whatever. I told him, he can always run quicker than you, but you never have a feeling that he's gotten to a clearing. It's like, I can't, you know, by the time I figure out that way he's taking me to, still not the answer, he's further ahead, and I can't give up. But I still got the feeling that it's not as if it's worked out, and I've identified how to learn it, so yeah, this is it, and so on and so forth. So that one's, I guess, it. He says, Kikashim benarusu bachusa ilaymit teira, shiatia teira etzloi. He gives to the young slave mishtaka. When he's young, they don't learn teira in a way because when you're young, you remember. When a person wakes up and he sees he has no teira, as the vaday, he wants at that point to have something he hasn't got it. The whole idea why that he the ASL do say holachacha bachurim lumud mashenisadero. When he was young, he ran after the youngsters to learn the things that he enjoys doing. Well, the error shaytik nothing. And then when he gets older, kashi matzav mechas mekayu. When he really has nothing, or mashen roya elof shaytik nothing malachacham v'teira. And what he should have had was a lot of knowledge. Then he would have added, I was told a few, the biggest incentive to do something is as follows. Let's say a person is working someplace, working for a store, and the guy gives him, I don't know, for the holidays or for extra work, $1,000 bonus. And he puts $1,000 in the bank. The next week, he gets $100 a week, he puts in $100, he now has $1,100, and $1,200, and $1,300, and the sense of that accumulated wealth makes him quite eager to work. And it keeps him going, because he's $1,300, $1,400, so on and so forth. If a guy gets $1,000, he blows it, takes everybody out, and sort of, sort of spends it on the weekend. The next week, he's working hard, and he's going to put $100 in the bank. There's very little cheshire to put $100 in the bank, and it doesn't get you going. Now, the person has learned a sizable amount, but still he knows. So now I want to learn this, and now I want to learn this. If there's a sense that everything he learns accumulates, it keeps the person going. But if the sense is he's got nothing, if he wakes up at the age of 40 or 50, it doesn't really have much material that he can claim as being his own. How much cheshire do you have to go on with it? The only thing he gathered was a lot of empty air. And then when he got tired of churning air, he doesn't have anything. So what happens is, now when he got older, the person claims himself to be a great lamdin, and he says, yeah, I can be mechalful this way, that or the other way. I could uproot mountains, the ash boulders, lahapok stay near Zerua, status of Hashem called Trey with Gan El Kimi. I could take a field that's completely, I could take an empty field and make it, a field that has status. The whole thing, a half of a such a Sherlock Sherish Emmett at the Nemon, because it's So I can flip around. I can take an empty field and make it full, and a full field and make it empty. In other words, you know, the person says, yeah, just I can prove to you any point any way you want. And I'll ask him, okay, who are the people that can testify how great you are learning? Ask any Amoritz in the marketplace and I'll say what kind of big London I am. It's sort of a double cynicism. He's saying, you know, he has an audience of Amoritz him, and he's an Amoritz, and then together they work really well. And this is what all these Amoritz wish. They want this for their kids also. I want my kid also to be such a big Mephalti. Put himself on a pedestal. The Yom of the Adam, people say, Hine is a Chabesh of Tesh Baruch Ha'aretz. Look at this. The Valve of the things. Tizeo Ish Moshe Sho'er Oilam. Look at this man. He's a veritable Moshe Rabbeinu, the light of the world. Hoide Vadora Borom Yoim. The Gam Laila, it's Sarah Lamashe, it's Sarah Ferofsei. Moshe Rabbeinu needed 40 days and 40 nights to become full of Torah. This guy, they cannot call the Yom Kippur, this guy did it much shorter. Because the Yom Ma'atim Shalach HaBachurim, you know, he spent a short time learning. But after Rosh HaMoirim, now he's one of the great teachers. Kind of very, very cynical. He called the Re'isi Gam Sukkah Heavy, he said, I myself have tasted it when I spent empty years doing that. And he writes this in the end of their Chaim. He writes that, you know, I'm writing this as tshuva for my own wrongdoings. I spent a long time doing, you know, wasting my time on this. And I then found a safe approach of tzaddikim, which enlightened me. And only I would have found it when I'm young. So the best I could do is to write about it, to use my own past mistakes to help people for the future, and maybe see my kapara and so on. Oh, it's very, very powerful. But Marta La'oyos Adem La'chotet Mishnah Sari, I'm trying to wake a person up. Ki choylem chaloyim hu. He's dreaming, he's fantasizing. V'day ba'orzu. Gam dibar ez amok and achak progress other places. Bakor le'day lo zet full not enough. Dovus ba'kol ba'kol ba'kol. It is the tragedy of Al-Dori, right? That's what people do. And to some degree, it's something that has invaded our door. Also, and for someone not in the yeshiva who's never understood it, who's never taken it, mixed it everything together, there is time that needs to be spent on something. It takes time to get things down. People need to learn how to understand how to learn, but there needs to be a sense of how it's coming together. It can't be that people are learning how to learn and they're never actually learning. That they've learned subjects and they can't put them together. They don't have any real sense of it. It's become, my muscle is, it's like when you take, if you look at a person's skin only through a microscope, you will never recognize the person in the street because the whole picture doesn't look. Yes, I can analyze each pore. And I can tell you a lot about each hair, the 89th hair on the second column from the right, on this right cheek, has got a problem in its pore, but that's not going to help very much and recognize the person. It's unfortunately because people don't understand, they look at somehow the competition as being who can do, quote unquote, more ian. More ian is not staying more mafarshim, it's not staying longer on a block. It's saying things that are more mature. It's giving a mature sense of where the city is and where it's not. It's pointing out things that are noteworthy as opposed to the million things that go into the infinity of prayer. It means saying things that make sense both from without the city and from within the city. Somebody told me one of the Torah that fucking told me was. They told me it was a so-called Rebbech Fair, and it went along the lines. Rebbech Fair does not think like it. Would never say anything, and it's a hard enough. You never should set it for kids. But the point was, these Torahs said, if I am a shomer chinam or shomer sachar, and so I ask somebody to please hold a package for me for a month, so that becomes, it's considered that person's rishus. That's gemara all over, like you have for pesachim, if you have for other yarim, that's 100% true. And being holding something in key for someone else is a certain domain, and it's relevant to certain halachas. That's all gone. But this boy continued, name of Rebbe, the name of Rebbe Fair, which he does not say it, that it's in your domain, and therefore, if the person giving it to you comes to you and says she doesn't need you to wash anymore, you would like it back, let's say I ask you for 30 days to wash my object. And then 2 weeks later, I come back and I say, hi, it's okay, I don't need it anymore, thanks. The person can say, no, I'm holding it for another 2 weeks. I looked at him and I said, it's absurd. Don't you understand it's absurd? The professor said, I said, how can a person know it's absurd? I said, it's not as if the person borrowed it, which I still could make it back, but at least borrowing was a transaction of that nature where I got to keep it for my own good. And therefore, it's a rental I could keep. It's not even like buying money, which again, there's shiloh, but at least there's room to understand that. I said, she's watching for me. It's my object. What does it mean to say I want to close the week? What do you mean? What do you want to close the week? It doesn't make any sense. And the poor boy, he had great amount of chachamim, and he was, but I said, don't you say it's absurd? And I wasn't getting a response there. The rabbi says something, he doesn't say that, he says something else, also a deep point, not an easy point, but a point. And if the boy can't look at, take two steps back and explain something and understand it and so on, then he's not getting it. Now, if there are great, young boys that they start learning how to learn, yes, they will say things that are flawed and things that are silly and they don't quite get it. Okay, there's a process, there's a learning curve. You have to distinguish the younger kid, okay, but at some point you need to become maturing and saying things that even though they're deeper, but it's a sensible deepness, not just off the charts. That's part of our problem. And like you said, it's always easier to hop around. Revolver writes in his Knowledge Sure with Derech Halima Kabachim and so on. He says he has seen Bachum spend long years learning and not have anything. And they didn't even realize that they weren't learning. They learn a piece of Gemara, they have a tashi, this person asks him what he's talking about, the other person asks him, and he describes it to Gemara that a fear of the Legina Kish Kish, if you have a few small coins and a push that make a lot of noise. So this person spends his days running around, hacking there, kasha paris, this, that, and ain't got no place. There's no bottom line to it, and no accumulated knowledge. And it's hard to pull somebody from a chacham, even if he spent 20 years in Yeshiva, doesn't have much accumulated knowledge. Now, there are ways to do it the other way. A person can just keep learning words and saying words, not be able to identify them and talk about them intelligently and put it together. Loneliness is a very serious part of it. But even better have a certain safe open guide. I mean, the morale is also firm on the Bavitsiya and on Erevin, possibly Shabbos, the other stuff. I don't remember which one I didn't do. I just recall the ones that offhand I remember. And they're very lumbish, very interesting. They have a certain lumbish feel to themselves. Sometimes Shabbos, sometimes lumbish. But it's also, these are points, and that's it. It's not never ending, and it's not, he looks for the heart of it on the first shot, rather than just kind of an infinite amount of draining, which is impressive, but not an arrogant in the truth. Yeah, I'm sorry you kind of digress, but so did he digress. Any brief questions? I'm going to have to go very soon. Hello?
No.
Okay, now,
I have to think about it.
Are we on?
Sorry, I'm going to ask you. Can you hear that?
Are we on? What's the story?
One more time.
Next week? On.
I think we'll be start after Nissan, I guess.
Okay, so we're off. So next week we're not on.
Bring on next week, and we'll start off with the newsman, basically.
The first. Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay, so hot question to Samantha, everybody. And yeah, and we should be excited to the Pesach is very much Jesus. That's the primary reason there, which is open to Jesus.
All the kitchen.
Awesome.
Yisra Krach. Good job.